I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Had to sleep that one off.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
DJ Moore was really good, and I think that this week it will be somewhat quieter at Hallis Hall based on what happened last week, not based on anything he said or told us, but I just feel like last week was cathartic for players to express their views about what went wrong and why. This week, after coming out yesterday, a loss that was less shocking but more alarming than the one in Washington, I think it's going to be just go quietly about your jobs. I just think that's going to be the rhetoric, the tone, and the approach.
Did you think that all the second guessing, all the questionable calls that happened in the Washington game and the player reaction to it, many of whom were captains of the team that were commenting upon it, do you think that helped lead to the failed performance in Arizona?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But I think that if you are going to be that loud and that open, which I recommend and was fine with,
yes,
you better back it up. And when you don't back it up, then you somewhat lose the right to be as loud, because you're going to leave the perception that you can't back it up. And when the Bears did just that yesterday. So our reaction to their loss is that one loss led to two because they complained about things that were wrong, and then they didn't know how to fix them.
It was really interesting to me talking to Pat Manley and Olin Krutz before the game yesterday, that they mentioned that there were times in the Lovey era where they really felt like the coach needed a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to do everything they could. You know, they played very hard every game, but he had this avuncular sort of hold on that team, and they wanted to figure out a way to help him when he needed it most. And I think they believed that that would be the case in the game with Arizona. I don't think that was the case in the game in Arizona. And I don't think people weren't playing hard for Eberflus, but I don't think he engenders. He seemed to do it with his defense a year ago. I'm not sure if what I'm seeing is so many pinpoint injuries that they just got to a point where there wasn't much you could do.
It's a good observation.
But I wonder what your thoughts are on
that. It's a fair question. I think that just reacting to what you asked, last year was a different team and a different dynamic, and it was, well, let's save my job by becoming the defensive coordinator and the head coach, and I'm developing a better chemistry with this defensive side of the ball, which became elite with Montez Sweat. So there's that bond, there's that connection. And I think last year you saw players maybe, you know, play hard. In large part, we gave credit to Matt Eberflus because of that. It was a defensive-driven team.
Yes.
This year, you draft a number one overall quarterback. He becomes the franchise. He is what this is all about. I don't know the dynamic between Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus, but I don't know that you often hear something that resembles what we heard last year or what we saw last year in players playing maybe for Matt Eberflus, or he got the best out of them. Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus don't feel like they're connected at the hip in the way that you want your head coach and your quarterback to be. And I don't think that is something I necessarily know firsthand, but when you're watching and you're listening and you're looking for cues, I do think it's fair to wonder if what you're asking is happening on the other side of the ball. The most important thing is what you want to get out of your quarterback. And is your quarterback in the best situation in terms of a coaching infrastructure to reach his potential? And right now the answer is an emphatic no.
But I would argue, and I agree with you, but I would argue that from a player personnel standpoint, the same thing might hold true in terms of the protection for the quarterback. You know, we know that he was under a lot of stress in that Washington game. They went after him a lot, and he didn't have any time when they pressured him. I felt that there was almost a repeat of that with an Arizona team that was supposed to be well, first of all, Washington wasn't supposed to be a very good defense, and certainly they were better than they have
bad
been.
Offensive lines can make injured defense look healthy.
That's where I was going. And is that on the coach? You know, I think that
Mully, it's not logically on the coach,
no.
But we're talking about relationship dynamics, which aren't necessarily rooted always in logic. It's result driven. It's outcome based. What all Caleb Williams kind of knows as a 22-year-old first time starter in the NFL is that they're not protecting me. This isn't working. It's not going so well. He's taking responsibility for his part in it.
Yes.
But you clearly hear the fact that he is questioning other parts of the operation.
As he should.
Yes.
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 And that's why I don't have a problem
with
it.
That's not a criticism of Caleb Williams. That's just telling you what I'm hearing and how I'm interpreting it.
But the offensive line that they imagined they would have is not the group that they had yesterday. Not by a long shot. They were down both their tackles, one of their backup tackles. I mean, they're down to like... You know, a practice squad
backup
player.
Backups.
Exactly.
Backups
and
don't work.
You know, I mean, okay.
They're employed, but they don't work.
So the big moves they made in the offseason, they made two moves to help their offensive line. They somehow made the trade, and they got Ryan Bates out of Buffalo. That was a guy that they had tried to sign to the contract, and he ended up staying in Buffalo, and they finally got their man. We haven't seen him yet. He was supposed to start at center, and Coleman Shelton was a backup. He was signed as a backup to Bates. And it was weird that they signed Bates because they had just gone through the Cody Whitehair thing, and you wondered, why wasn't he playing center already? Will he have enough time to transition into center? How will that happen? Well, he got hurt, and we haven't seen him. So he's ready to come back now, but he'll be coming back as a guard. Matt Pryor was going to be the swing tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He's now the starting right guard. You know, with Darnell Wright out, with Wade Davis not good enough to play, with, you know, Kieran Amagaji was a third-round pick. That's a high draft pick.
Well, that's the two big moves you're talking about. Ryan Bates and Kieran Amagaji.
Yes.
Those were the offseason moves to address the offensive line issues. Amagaji was drafted pre-injured, and Ryan Bates lasted all of two quarters in the season opener, and we haven't seen him since. So you are compromised almost from the get-go on your offensive line. You start from a position of weakness, and you need that to be a position of strength. Nate Davis hasn't worked out. That's a miss for Ryan Poles. So now you're stuck. You're halfway a season to go. Expectations remain high. They've been adjusted and readjusted, but I don't know how you get out of this hole that you've dug for yourself.
Yeah, and I don't know how the coach gets out of it, if I may include him now in that. But, you know, we're sitting here and we're talking about the coach. The offensive line has been a problem since the year began, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And because you didn't, the guy that you went out and you traded for wasn't able to stay. He wasn't able to practice early, so you never saw him at center at all. And, you know,
that's a big concern, as we'll get to the phone calls, but.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams the last 2 weeks has not been consistent, and he has taken the steep roller coaster ride that Matt Eberflus wanted to keep him off of has now started to go the other direction. And that's got to stop because he's got to be more accurate than he has been. He was not accurate yesterday. The downfield passing game was missing as a result, and that's something to keep an eye on.
Let's try Maurice. He's in Bellwood. Hey, Maurice.
Good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Maurice?
Hey, how you doing? I think that the one of the major issues is that the Bears, all their draft picks have been bad, and the media tries to make excuses for that. I think you try to insult our intelligence. All their draft picks are lousy, and then I don't know what the ballerina are going to do when Green Bay Vikings and Detroit come. I have no clue because y'all swore up and down he was the savior.
Who?
That this boy was the savior.
Caleb?
Yeah, the guy that paints his nail? Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Maurice. Appreciate the phone call. Did he call him a ballerina?
I think he did. You know what? I hate to say this. When he said the ballerina, I thought Kyler Corbin.
I did too.
I did.
I thought he was.
Because he was legitimately, he did perform ballet.
Yeah. Kyler Gordon was very athletic and balletic.
And he's also, you know, the martial artist.
He's a man of many talents.
That's right.
Just get him back on the field.
It would help. But I didn't understand what he meant there. It was pretty funny.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Al's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Al.
Hey, thank you guys for the time. I just want to make quick 4 points, and I'll jump off. First, you know, this crisis that we have is the creation of Ryan Poles. The original mistake was keeping Matt Eberflus last year, and then you get the, you know, keeping Simo, and then keeping Waldron, and then hiring Waldron. So those are all mistakes. So I don't want us to gloss over that. That was Ryan Poles' fault. Number two, you know, when I see from outside, of course, Ryan Pace and Cunningham, they look like fire and ice. So they work together well, but there's a lot of ego with them, and probably rightfully, but they probably thought they could patchwork an O-line together. So we have problems with O-line depth, D-line depth now. Replacing Billings is going to be a monster. Mm. Good luck. And then number three, you know, one thing they've got right is Caleb. He is the right quarterback. He's got a good head. He's going to be a good leader. And I think we've got a franchise guy. And the last thing, and I'll jump off, and I thank you for the time. We need a head coach who's got bona fide, you know, oomph, a real good head coach. Somebody like who's got experience. Somebody like a Vrabel who hired good O-line coordinators like LaFleur or maybe Stefanski. You'd probably get fired this year. So, you know, those are things. That's the direction we need to go. We need to get established people. We need to get people who need us to get us where we need to go. No more playing around. No more first-time hires.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Appreciate the phone call. I don't disagree with a lot of what he said.
No.
I also am a believer that Caleb Williams, even though he's not the best rookie quarterback in this class this year, halfway through the season, is not – he's a bigger part of the solution than he is the problem.
Mm.
And I know that might not be easy to say the Monday after he's had maybe two straight disappointing games, but I do think that they're going to be somebody that he's going to be somebody they follow into better times and better seasons. Might not be this one, but I do think he's the right guy.
Zach is in Rockford. Hey, Zach.
What's going on, guys? So two things. So last year, Cole Kmet, within the first, I believe it was 5 or 6 games, he had almost close to 60 targets. That was last season. This season, we're 8 games in. He has 30 targets, none yesterday, which blows my freaking mind. Okay, I counted at least 10-plus times he's wide open, and they're just not throwing it to him. I don't know if he's being punished because he's been the most vocal. I don't know if he just doesn't have a good connection with Williams. But there were times when Williams ran 10 yards back out of the pocket. Cole Kmet is sitting 10, 15 yards ahead of him, wide open. He's waving his freaking hands, and they're not even passing it to him. The locker room is dead. It's gone. You can thank our fabulous coach for that. Then you got Ryan Poles. If I'm Ryan Poles, I'm waiting for Waldron and Eberflus at the freaking airport and tell them to pack their stuff and be gone.
Yeah, well, they landed and they're back, and he didn't do that. But thank you for the call. I'm really confounded by the idea that they purposely were punishing Cole Kmet and did not pass to him. This is apparently making the rounds. We had a call about it earlier.
Yeah,
let me tell you something. Just so you know, you got to win in the NFL. You can't punish people if it's going to cost you a game. If the idea that somehow they communicated, don't get the ball, hey, everyone, turn your back to Colt. There's not a chance. You can't do that. If you didn't put him in the game, okay, maybe something's going wrong.
If you discipline him that way,
yes,
that's understandable. But if he's active.
You can't look at him and then goes to someone else. That's absurd.
If the guy is in uniform and on the field, no offensive coordinator is going to get into his feelings about ignoring a target.
Oh,
that was just
that's mindless.
That provides an excuse where one really doesn't exist, because you need to figure out a way to get your tight end the football, and has nothing to do with feelings.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.